What's going on, guys? Welcome to the show. Welcome to a very special presentation of Action Movie Anatomy here on the Popcorn Talk Network. We're talking about the 100 films covered on Action Movie Anatomy, ranking all 100 of them in reverse order, and doing our End of the 100 awards, guys. We have given out actual awards like the ESPYs, but for sweet movies. Hang out with us, guys. We're going to break the whole thing down for you. I'll see you in just 1 second.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Action Movie Anatomy.
Boom! Every time, it never gets old.
It never gets old. This song will always make me excited. Dude, I'm stoked.
I'm freaking pumped.
I did not think we were going to be able to do this without killing each other.
It was kind of amazing. Like, you realize that after you spend hundreds of hours watching, like, thousands of hours,
literally,
discussing, ranking, talking about, theorizing about these movies.
And what makes them great.
The mind melding of, like, when we were, like, 57 movies in, and it was like, okay, where should we put this movie? And we'd both be like, I think it's right about...
You're
like,
here.
29? Like, yeah, I was thinking 29.
In between these two films? Yeah, that's exactly what I was going
to
say.
You're maybe off by one. Explain to me why.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I can go with that.
That's fair. I'll go up or down. And now, guys, now, so what we're doing on this episode is... Actually, go ahead and take it. I'm so excited.
So, guys, we've done 100 movies on Action Movie Anatomy. This show has gone on for 2 years.
Yeah.
As you know, we announced recently we hit 10 million total views on the show. It was very exciting. We have gotten to our 100th episode, which just aired yesterday. That was for Heat, one of the great action films of all time.
So good. First time I saw it.
Yeah, one of the truly great action movies that we hadn't done on the show. And it's why we saved it for the 100th episode.
Yep.
And when we did it, we realized, guys, that we used to rank movies on the show. So in the early days, Andrew and I would actually rank films. We would do a whole thing where at the end of it, we'd rank the hero, rank the villain, and put it on our personal favorites list.
Yeah.
We're at 100 now. We abandoned the ranking a long time ago because doing it at the end of every episode was exhausting.
It was exhausting. There was too many movies. If we did more than one movie, it just became crazy.
So normally, when ranking, like on my 50 favorite films, which I'm doing on Anchor right now,
mm-hmm,
I lean towards favorite. So that allows me to do whatever I want with whatever movie I want, wherever I want on the list.
Absolutely.
But this list is greatest.
And now the things that we use to decipher and determine what made a film great were things like rewatchability,
yep,
awards, box office, performance, things like that.
Things that make the films memorable, and then also...
Iconic scenes.
There's a weird kind of cross-section here, though, where it is an action movie show.
It is.
So these are the 100 greatest action movies on AMA.
Yeah, and it's based in a world of action.
Yeah, but remember, guys, if you're watching or listening, they have to be films we've covered on the show.
Yes.
So you can't throw in Indiana Jones and Raiders of the Lost Ark because we haven't done it on the show.
Right.
We can't throw Star Wars in. We haven't done it on the show. So we have to have talked about the films on the show. At the end of episode 200, maybe we'll do the ranking of the 200.
That would be amazing.
But right now, we have 100 films to count down, guys, as well as awards, guys. Who doesn't love award season?
Yeah, and we posted all the awards for polls online. You guys saw them at AMA Podcast. Hopefully you voted, and we have our winners. We have the nominees. We also have who you picked as winners, and they're pretty close for the most part.
We were influenced by the fan vote, absolutely, especially some of the ones that we were on the fence about. In the end, some of them we had to assign the winner based on what we feel.
Yeah,
but some of them we were influenced by the fan vote. So you guys will see, we're gonna every single 10 movies, we're gonna break out another award. Some of these are like best line of the show, it's like comeback action hero of the year,
yeah, rookie of the year, show MVP, greatest villain, greatest episode,
greatest hero. Yeah, we've got a lot of fun awards to break down for you guys. So first and foremost, guys, please like, comment below, let us know if you agree or disagree with the rankings. If you like and comment, it does help the episode stay popular, stay high in the standings. We provide free content here, and we want to continue to provide free content.
That's right.
So last but not least, guys, we are on Twitter personally. You can find me at Ben Bateman Media,
and you can find me at Andrew Guy on Instagram and Twitter, and you can find our podcast
at AMA Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And guys, we did talk about it on Tuesday, but there is a brand new show coming that we're very, very excited about. It's called Fist Pump Films Weekly. Where you can find the show, we haven't announced quite yet, but the show itself is going to be breaking down the greatest films of all time, the fist pump moments that make them great, and how that relates to some super awesome thesis statement going on in the movie world right now.
Yep, and if you guys haven't watched, go back and watch the episode that we did put up on Tuesday. It was the 10 rules that we'd come up with of doing 100 movies on Action Movie Anatomy for 2 years. And so, without any further ado...
Yeah, I say we get straight into it.
Let's hop into our very first award, which is...
in the category of worst movie ever on Action Movie Anatomy.
And there were The nominees are Anaconda, The Running Man, Jason Bourne, and Ben's favorite, The Taking of Pelham 123.
And a fifth nominee, Independence Day Resurgence. You'll notice the asterisk here. Taking of Pelham 123 was not an actual nomination. That was a joke you made.
I just wanted to throw that in there. I'm sorry.
Independence Day Resurgence is the final film in question.
Now, the fans voted on... I'm not going to do that every time. Don't worry.
Independence Day Resurgence was the fan vote for worst film ever on the show.
And since you guys know us so well,
the winner goes to Independence Day Resurgence, which is going to start us out as our 100th film because it's the worst movie we've ever done on the show.
Boom. There is the image. That is the cover, or an image we pulled from Independence Day Resurgence. Look, Independence Day is one of the most classic movies from the 90s that we love and that we thought we loved. We went back and watched it. We didn't love it so much.
No.
So we thought Independence Day 2 would come back out, might re-inject some adrenaline into this franchise.
Something. It was just bad on every level.
It was appalling.
Even the parts of Independence Day 1 that were great, like the speech and Jeff Goldblum, they didn't do well. Jeff Goldblum was totally forgettable in this movie. The warlord comedy with that other dude was awful. The speech in this movie, it was just a poor substitute.
Yeah.
This is probably one of the only examples on this entire... I think it is, in fact. I can see it because I can see 99. This is the only movie on this list that I legitimately disliked.
We made a mistake.
It was a bad movie. Every other one of the 99 films on here, I have some part of it that I liked. There was nothing about this movie I liked.
Yeah, there's nothing. There's no redeemable qualities for us. But don't worry, when we're counting down these latter 50, there are movies that we love in here. Independence Day Resurgence, we did not. Neither did you guys, I think. So,
moving on to number 99.
Number 99.
A much better film.
A much better film, and it's because of an incredible performance from our good friend, Wesley Snipes.
Wesley Snipes. The film is Demolition Man. Demolition Man starring Stallone and Snipes. You got Simon Phoenix. Simon Says, Die.
You got the sweet music.
The karate scene with the turntables. This movie is ridiculous. This is like Stallone with like the cyber sex with Sandra Bullock, isn't it?
Yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah, the cyber sex scene. And Dennis Leary's in this movie.
It's just so weirdly beautiful.
And campy and horrible and awesome. This movie's really, really fun to watch.
Yeah, it's one of our absolute favorites. The thing about it, it's not a great movie.
No.
It's incredible. Incredibly enjoyable. So at number 99, we have Demolition Man.
Yeah, I think there's not that much more to say about Demolition Man. There's some pretty fascinating stuff you go to read about Demolition Man.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the story of how it got made, everything that went into it is pretty fascinating. But anyway, Demolition Man is number 99, guys. Moving on to number 98.
This one was a heartbreaker for me.
Yeah, yep.
And the reason that Jason Bourne...
Our number 98 film, the fifth installment in the Bourne franchise, the most recent, 2016's Jason Bourne...
was because it looked so good in the trailers.
Yeah.
Alicia Vikander's in it. You guys all know how I feel about her. Tommy Lee Jones.
TLJ.
Great.
Yeah, this movie should have been good. The opening scene in the trailer where it's like they're like fighting out in the desert and Bourne knocks the guy on the ground.
One punch.
I said this to you before.
It was a phantom punch.
I said this to you before. I got up to go to the bar and get two Jamesons and two Polish sausages twice during this film.
Yeah,
it was so bad.
I gotta go.
You're
back?
This was not a good movie. This movie... It's the reason this wasn't a good movie is because I can't remember anything about it. It had nothing to do with the Jamesons, I swear to God.
I didn't have two Jamesons and two Polish dogs when I went, and I still don't. We were sitting there legitimately trying to talk about memorable parts of it for maybe 5 minutes.
Because there was supposed to be the whole thing on the Vegas Strip with
the car. And
yeah. He got jacked again.
He got jacked again, and even the punch was so not as good in the movie as it was in the trailer.
Yeah, this movie was just... the one thing that did come out of this movie that we loved, though, was that because it's the fifth movie, there was all the Jason Bourne-isms.
But they were lazy, right?
Yeah, right. All the things where the phone rings and the guy's like, Bourne's in Bolivia, hangs up. It's like, who was that? What were they talking about?
Oh my God, that's Jason... Yeah, we know it's Jason Bourne.
Were there more details of the call?
Yeah.
Bourne's in Bolivia. Or like,
Bolivia.
Oh, holy shit, that's Jason Bourne! Freeze frame. Yeah, it's just like...
That's classified information. Tell me more.
Never heard of him. Number 97 on the list, guys. We have the next film, another sequel.
Yep.
Starring our main man. This is the lowest Tom Cruise film on the list. Jack Reacher, Never Go Back. Jack Reach Around, as people like to call
it. Jack Reach Around.
You've never heard that?
No, that's a real thing.
Yeah.
It's genius. Look, Tom Cruise is great. He has awesome moments.
And he's the best part of this movie by a mile. The character of Jack Reacher played by Tom Cruise is actually quite entertaining. He's a pretty entertaining hero.
Yeah.
The supporting characters in this movie, Colby Smulders and Aldous Hodge, are just like...
I loved How I Met Your Mother, and I'm just not happy that her career took off. I'm just not.
Yeah.
I'll say it. I don't like her in The Avengers. I don't like her in Jack Reacher. The movie has its sweet payoffs of Tom Cruise being the smartest man in the room and then, and then like, it happening immediately.
It does have that one really sweet part when in the... in like the container, the shipping container, where the guys follow him in, and Cruise is like,
"Oh yeah,
followed me in here." That wasn't a good idea.
Yeah,
that
wasn't a good idea. Look, it's awesome. It's enjoyable. It's fun. It's popcorn. But for a sequel that we were dying to see, that looked like people really wanted to see, it just fell a little flat.
Cruise in the theaters will never not be an event for me.
No,
it's just and The Mummy. I'm really excited for.
Me too.
I'm really excited.
June 9th.
Yeah, Cruise in theaters is always going to be exciting. So it was just just getting to see Tom Cruise in a movie theater was enough. But this movie was, you know, not that memorable. The first one's a lot more memorable. Next up on our list, guys, we have a recent film and a film that was just so...
Number 96 is Safe House.
Yeah, this was a... Forgettable, I think, is probably the easiest phrase to throw at this movie.
It makes sense why it was a miss on our show. It makes sense why you and I hadn't watched it. It's just fine.
Yeah.
You know, like Denzel kind of phones it in. Ryan Reynolds is good. Ryan Reynolds is good. It's just fine.
This was the movie that inspired my thesis statement, which is that Ryan Reynolds is the only A-list dramatic actor without a dramatic hit.
Yeah.
And I think it's still true.
Yeah, I mean, other than... Yeah, because Buried isn't a hit.
Yeah.
No hit.
He doesn't have a dramatic hit to his name yet, but he still bills himself as a dramatic actor.
Safe House is fun. It has a lot of good action in it, and it's got some great scenes, and it moves pretty quickly. There's just... We talk about this on the show a lot. There's no heart to it.
This director's getting better and better. I actually liked Life a lot.
I like Life a lot.
And I think he's just going to keep getting better. He's a young guy. He's not even 40 yet.
Yeah, so it's just a new movie with a great cast. I mean, if he didn't have those guys carrying it for him, it probably would have been maybe 99 on our list.
Yeah, who knows? So next up on the list, guys, we have another one called The Mechanic. Jason Statham, the only Jason Statham starring film on this list.
And it's very similar to Safe House, and I think the reason that we... put it ahead of Safe House was specifically the fight that Ben Foster has with the gigantic bear, the homosexual bear assassin.
Yeah, which is a great fight.
Oh, dude. Like, if you guys only see 5 minutes of the movie, just watch that fight because it's so intense and just real.
It's
and
savage.
Gnarly.
Yeah, Statham's fine in this movie. It's like, it's a good enough movie. Foster is the best part, as he is often in the films he's in.
Yeah.
And you'll notice Foster's in other films as we get higher on this list. I'm just looking at what's ahead. This gets so sweet.
I mean, when we were doing this list, the way we did it was we started with our first episode ever, and we would just do the next movie. Is this better or worse?
Yeah.
Better or worse. And then we started getting into this, like, oh my God, these next five movies coming up, how do we rank
insane.
Them?
Insane. Yeah, The Mechanic is watchable, and... I don't know that it needed a sequel, but that fight alone is worth looking up. I would look that fight up on YouTube because it's a savage fight.
It's really good. Moving on to number 94, it is our good friend, Mr. Dirk Diggler.
Antoine Fuqua directs. Mark Wahlberg in Shooter.
Bob Lee Swagger.
Bob Lee Swagger.
Bob Lee Swagger.
I was trying to pull images for this one, and I'm
it's
not
just
sure.
Her.
I think it's her in a bra with a shotgun.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's the image I pulled.
I'm sure that's the...
It's 100%.
Josh is like, it is, and we should talk about this. Oh, we got Josh in the booth, everybody, by the way.
Josh?
How's it going?
Josh, where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Josh_Rodriguez_.
There you go.
So Josh_Rodriguez_?
Yes.
So Kate Mara is, she has a sweet accent. She's actually smoking hot. I love Kate Mara. I think she's a good actress and she's gorgeous.
Danny Glover is evil as hell.
Yeah, Danny Glover is great.
He's real bad.
I'm not going to try the voice. I tried it once. It wasn't a good look.
It was not good. It was not a good look. It was bad for the show.
Yeah. Wahlberg is genuinely entertaining in this movie.
Yeah, he's got the thing. He's got the charisma.
Yeah, he's got the charisma. He's the smartest guy in the room. He has a couple really good lines about, like, that distance, everything comes into play. The humidity, the wind, the
Coriolis
spin of the earth.
Effect.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. What are you
the
talking?
Coriolis
about?
Effect. It's fun and it's exactly what you want out of an Antoine Fuqua movie. Maybe not what you expect, but it's what you want.
It's a very entertaining movie. Moving on to number 93, we have the other swing and a miss in the Bourne franchise.
Such a bummer. Our buddy Matt Haggerty worked on this movie.
Yeah, and he worked on it great.
Yeah, and I love Jeremy Renner.
Yeah.
I love Oscar Isaac, except for he's taking all my roles in Hollywood.
The Bourne legacy, guys. This movie is a weird one because some people would probably look at this. Like, I'll bet you Haggerty would look at our list and be like, what are you guys talking about?
What the fuck are you guys doing?
It's way
I
better.
Worked on that. And you know what? It is better than other movies on this list in the sense of it like being a more technically sound movie.
It's trying to be more than it is the problem.
Yeah.
It's everything that Jason Bourne did badly, this movie just did forgettably.
Exactly. Not badly, forgettably.
Yeah, it's just, it doesn't have any heart. There's the story in this movie is, like, I barely even remember what happened.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the whole when you were like, oh, he goes and saves Rachel Weisz, I was like, oh, yeah, that's what that movie's about. I can only remember the beginning and the drone and Oscar Isaac and him out in the forest.
The drone scene's sweet.
That's sweet. There's
when he fights
sweet
the wolf
moments in the film. That's why it's, I mean, 93 is brutal, but we've done 100 movies on the show and we like all the movies,
yeah,
other than Independence Day Resurgence.
So,
honestly, it's way better than the fifth one.
Yeah.
It's a bummer that there's two Jason Bournes in our bottom 10, but it's the way the cookie crumbles, man.
But I can guarantee there are three Jason Bournes in our top something.
Yes. And this next one, we got in trouble for.
This is controversial. We put this up. This was one of the choices for worst movie, and this is 1986's The Running Man. It's 86 or 87. And this is a Schwarzenegger film starring Richard Dawson about a futuristic world where Schwarzenegger gets basically thrown into, like, the Hunger Games, kind of. It's like a game show of death.
It's so absurd.
Yeah.
But it's so fun.
It does have a couple classic lines, like, but I'm going to make you eat that contract, but I hope you leave a room for my fist, because I'm going to ram it in your stomach and break your goddamn spine.
Which is great, because I hadn't even known what that was from for so long, because I didn't watch it until we did it on the show.
Execute the hostages. There are lots of innocent women in Toulon down there. All they want to do is eat, for God's sakes.
For God's sakes.
To hell with you.
It's just a bad movie, but it's so fun. It's so awesome.
Richard Dawson's great in this movie.
The villain?
Yeah.
Is, yeah, like the fact that a TV host, TV yeah show host, is just like, I'm gonna be a bad guy. And he's like a bad guy.
He's sweet.
Good, yeah.
This movie is really 80s.
Yeah, it's super 80s. It feels disconnected from the audience now. Doesn't mean it's not a good movie.
No. It's sweet enough. Dynamo, the big, like, singing, malfunctioning.
Yeah. It's just a little too absurd.
Oh, and the one thing about this movie, my fist bump moment, I was forgetting, was the song at the end. This is no game. I love
it. Is it's a whole movie about a game.
Yeah. I love that song.
So closing out our top 10 at number 91, we have got John Travolta in Swordfish.
In a world.
In a world that most of us don't even know.
This movie starts, and, like, there's, like, that scene where they're like, talking about John Travolta, and, like, shows him getting out of the car and, like, going to the club, and it just looks like a Scandinavian porn film.
Yeah, you're like, what's gonna happen when he goes in there?
They're, like, the music's playing, and you're just like, it's just gonna be, like, just, like, a bunch of people blowing each other in a bathroom. It's like, that's what this feels like we're about to watch.
That club is what happens before the movie Hostel happened.
Yeah.
That club.
Yeah.
Travolta's sweet, though. Hugh Jackman's awesome. And honestly, the blowjob hacking scene is still, like, it's so goofy, but it was actually kind of cool.
It's also such young Jackman. He's
such young Jackman. It's Halle Berry in her prime.
Yeah.
It's just fun. It's a good, dumb, throwaway action movie with some kind of decent performances.
Was this Dominic Cena? Is that the director of this film?
Yeah.
It's like, he did this and Gone in 60, like, within a year of each other.
He also did Domino.
No, that's Tony Scott.
Oh, yeah.
Swordfish, the one thing in Swordfish, and I believe the image I pulled for this, is Travolta standing up with the two guns sideways in the car. Yeah.
Like, out the roof. Yeah, you're just like, that's how you die.
Yeah. This movie is entertaining enough. So that's Swordfish. That's number 91, guys. It closes out the bottom 10. We have another award for you.
Yes, we do. And that award is the Rookie of the Year.
So this really, some of the classifications of these awards we should clarify, because it's, we've done the show for 2 years, which means 15 to 17 are the years in question. But some of these things are references to, like, maybe about a decade. This one specifically is somebody who has come onto the scene since we started the show.
Yes.
So since 2015.
And it's not as an actor or actress. It's as an action star.
And it's just,
specifically.
So, guys, the nominations for the Action Movie Anatomy Rookie of the Year are Tom Hardy, Nicholas Holt, Chris Pratt, Rebecca Ferguson. The fan vote on this one, unsurprisingly, went to Chris Pratt.
Of course, because of Guardians of the Galaxy and Jurassic World, but we didn't cover Guardians of the Galaxy on the show.
We did not.
We covered Jurassic World on the show, and you guys know how we feel
about Jurassic
World. It's not a bad film, it's just not one of our favorites.
I think the winner's going to surprise you guys. The winner of the Action Movie Anatomy Rookie of the Year goes to
none other,
Rebecca Ferguson.
Yeah.
Mission Impossible 5, Rebecca Ferguson. She just showed up in Life. She was great. She's so sweet in Mission Impossible 5.
Look, she's beautiful, but it's not distracting.
Nope.
She is a badass, and it's believable. She is able to steal screen eyes from Tom Cruise, the greatest action movie star of all time.
She does actually, and it's rare. You don't get to see very often, especially in modern era Cruise. Back in the day, he would still have co-stars that were big.
Sure.
Nowadays, Cruise, like, doesn't really star
in
movies with big people.
There's a reason that they put females the female counterpart as up and comers. Yep. Think about all the people that played them throughout their careers. You know, the Paula Patton, the Thandie Newtons. None of them were big.
Yep.
Same with Rebecca Ferguson. She wasn't big. Now she's blowing up. Look, she's amazing. She's a great badass. And she, like, the fights in that movie and the writing. I love when he's like, what does he say? He's like, he's like, a hell of a rider, aren't you? Or something like that. After she betrays him, it's the first time he sees her. He's like, you can ride.
Yeah.
This is, like, awesome. She's so good. She's so hot.
She is. She's really hot. Yeah. This movie's sweet. She's really sweet. So, Rebecca Ferguson, hats off to you. Congratulations.
And she saved Tom Cruise's life.
You are the Action Movie Anatomy Rookie of the Year. Moving on to our second set of 10 films, guys. In the slot, number 90.
Anacondas are a buffer killing machine.
I don't know, don't I? Look, the reason why, and okay, I was gonna put originally. I was like, I mean, shouldn't Anaconda be like 99?
This was the runner up in votes for worst film on the show. By the way, the poll. That's what the fans said.
Yeah,
and you're wrong, by the way.
And Ben goes, John Voight's sweeter than Independence Day Resurgence. It's like, oh, that's a good point. And I was like, Demolition Man, Jason Bourne, every other. He's like, John Voight is sweeter than every one of those movies. Everything in those movies, John Voight is sweeter than
Anaconda. Voight is legitimately just his character of Paul Sorone is sweeter than all of our bottom 10 movies. He steals the show. The sweat stain.
He sweats so much.
he's just amazing.
Let it burn.
He's just like a psychopathic, sociopathic killer. And
there's something really down there. I'm serious.
I really mean it too. I'm serious too.
You're like, what? Where are you from?
This is John Voight's return to the acting world.
Look, if you just had a movie that was just the clips of him and Anaconda, I'd watch it. I would watch that.
Absolutely. The fact that Anaconda is not more beloved, the fact that people actually thought to rate that movie as low as they did is astounding. John Voight,
it's astounding and offensive,
is a national treasure. Let's move on to number 89, a film that just barely beat out Paul Sorone, and I wonder why. This is a film called The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3.
I need you to bring home a gallon of milk.
I can get a half gallon.
I want to. We need a gallon.
I can get a half gallon.
Well, you come home.
Masterclass acting.
Look,
I took the bribe.
This movie is not a great action movie. I'll just go out and say it straight up right there.
You can just cut the tape right now.
Roll that back. But there are moments in this film.
Oh yeah, that two specifically.
There's the moment when he admits to taking the bribe.
It's great. It's a great scene. So, legitimately, guys, honestly, honest to God, I've done this on YouTube enough times. Yeah. Look up Taking of Pelham 1-2-3 intense scene. Look that up on YouTube. That exact wording, and you'll find it. I've watched it a lot of times.
Look, we joke a lot about this movie on the show.
We do.
It is probably my, I think Unstoppable is maybe my least favorite Tony Scott Denzel
collab. Like this movie more, just because of those scenes.
Just because of those scenes, man. Just because of those scenes. They're so good, and the Denzelishness is it a 10,
yeah.
And Travolta's awesome. And look, man. That, if you're going to say that Paul Sorone is better than everything underneath him,
yep.
Then those two scenes definitely are better than everything else between 90 and 100.
And they're better than Paul Sorone,
And they're better than Paul Sorone, absolutely.
Yeah. They're truly great scenes from one of the greatest actors ever to live.
Absolutely. And going back and watching Heat again just recently, I'm just like, God, Voight can do anything.
Yeah.
He really can. Moving on to number 88. This is a controversial one as well because I know a lot of people out there love it. And by voting for Chris Pratt, that is evidence that you guys believe that Jurassic World at number 88 might be a little low.
I think Jurassic World is fine. I think it's a perfectly fine movie. I think we suffered a little bit from going in with expectations of that movie being actually good. Like, we wanted it to be something that it wasn't. At the time, we didn't think we could do Jurassic Park on the show. We years later did it.
Yes.
And I'm glad we did, because Jurassic Park's amazing. But Jurassic World is just fine. It's just kind of forgettable.
It's just fine. Exactly. And another thing that you brought up a lot when we were doing our rankings were, this movie's 20 years old.
Yeah.
And we're still talking about it now. In 20 years, are we going to be talking about Jurassic World? Probably not.
No.
We'll probably talk about it like the way we talk about episode 2.
Right.
And like, hey, remember when that happened? It's just fine all the way across the board. Bryce Dallas Howard is whatever. Chris Pratt is fantastic. Vincent D'Onofrio is forgettable. And CGI dinosaurs aren't as cool as practical dinosaurs.
Yeah. Chris Pratt controlling an army of raptors is pretty cool. It's just enough.
It's all fine.
Yeah.
It's all serviceable.
What was it? Like the Hyperius Rex or something? What do they call it?
Oh, yeah.
Indominus?
Indominus Rex.
Yeah.
It's bigger than yeah, we get it.
It was really funny, actually, that, what's his name? Who's in the scientist from the first
B.D. Wong.
B.D. Wong.
The only person.
And he's like a legitimate character now in this one, whereas in the first movie, he's in the movie for like, 2 minutes?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe, if that. Yeah. He like has a scene.
So yeah, anyway, it was funny. Like when they said that, and when we were covering World, yeah. It's like a returning cast member. I was like, who the hell is
Vinnie Wong?
Oh yeah.
Was he like? Am I just way off base? Was he super famous or something?
I don't know why people love him so much in that character that much. Yeah. I might be missing something.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Next up, we have another Schwarzenegger film from the mid '80s. We have 85's Commando in number 87. Schwarzenegger in a Speedo. Schwarzenegger tearing the seat out of a car to get in the car because he's too big for the car when it has the seat in it.
Tipping over a car.
Beating up Bill Duke, fighting against Bennett.
Yeah,
hey Bennett, let off some steam.
The villain.
Oh yeah, Bennett. He's fantastic.
Like I just don't even know how to describe him.
The one great piece of trivia is that he's wearing like chainmail and like these pants, and all of his clothes look too small for him because he looks out of shape.
Because it was for someone else.
It was supposed to be for someone else that was smaller than him, and they cast him last minute, which is why he looks fat in the
just
role.
Just like really fat and really uncomfortable. Look, it's the same thing.
Why is he wearing chainmail?
Yeah, you're shooting.
It's never explained.
It's not going to help. But apparently he's like the most badass guy out there. It's him and Schwarzenegger. They're the two.
Right.
It's fun. It's dumb. It's a little better than The Running Man. It just moves a little faster.
Oh, yeah. Schwarzenegger carrying a tree at the beginning. We have your daughter, so you have to do what we say, right?
Wrong. All right. Moving on to number 86, one of my personal favorites.
And a recent film on the show.
Haunt. Mission Impossible 2, the worst
Mission Impossible film
in the franchise.
Illegitimately bad movie. The only reason the movie gets to be as high as it is because it's Tom Cruise. I mean, that's just it has enough charisma and also because it has your boy.
It has my boy,
Duray Scott,
and Brandon Gleason's in it.
Yeah,
so it has to get knocked up a notch there.
The Chimera virus.
Chimera virus.
When we did this episode, there was like a sweet segment of like what like made up.
Oh yeah,
like just toxins and operatives and things like that. We just like started making shit up. I've had some like really really good ones.
You had like a really elaborate. Go back and watch that episode, guys. There's some cool fake toxins in there,
like the Phoenix Directive or something like that.
You had like written out movies about like box covers.
I hope it's almost as good as Chaos Trip from Jurassic Park.
Yes, right.
Our fake movie pitches.
Look, it's a fun, fine film. It defines 90s action at its worst.
Yeah.
Really. Like the slow-mo, the overuse of the masks. It's fine.
It's fine. Go watch it if you want. It's not necessary. Number 85, we've got my single favorite film as a child ever, a film that I saw over 90 times as a kid.
Mortal Kombat!
It has begun!
Love.
Alright then. This movie's legitimately sweet. If this movie is the original good bad video game movie, Mortal Kombat is thoroughly entertaining. It's actually a super fun movie to watch. It's horrible. It's a terrible
not a good
movie.
But again, it's like you got to think, what did this do for action or for video game movies as a whole in time? And then, like, rewatchability over all these movies on the list ahead of it, I would probably rather watch Mortal Kombat than every other one we've listed so far.
Lord Raiden in his rice patty hat, just like super
so
racist.
Everything is so stupid and thought out. But that's, again, it's one of those movies where like I can turn my brain off and just have a great time.
Lou, remember when our parents died? What?
What? Oh, right. I forgot. We're fighting for the fate of the world.
Oh, yeah. That's the one.
Oh,
I
right.
forgot. We are fighting for the fate of the world.
Were you going to say more?
Yeah.
No, you're done? Okay, my bad.
It's a good film. I like that this movie made everyone involved a star. Wait.
No. Nobody. All right,
moving on to number 84. Are you... No, it's not. That's the wrong line.
Is there no one else?
Yeah.
Look, Brad, can we do that again? Nope.
Number 84, Troy, the historical epic from 2004 starring Brad Pitt. A huge cast. A massive cast.
You've got a massive Brian Cox paying a massive... what's the... Agamemnon, that's his name.
Agamemnon. But this also has Brian Cox and Brendan Gleeson and Peter O'Toole and Brad Pitt and Eric Bana and Orlando Bloom and what's his name? Charlie Hunnam. Garrett Hedlund.
Yeah.
This movie has a massive cast.
Massive. Yeah. Massive cast. Incredibly huge budget. It was... Look, this happened. This was like the King Arthurs and the Troys and all. Like, it's the new King Arthur. There's these masterful... There's these movies that are supposed to be masterful epics. With massive budgets and insane ensemble casts that just suck.
Yeah, Brad Pitt legitimately looks like he belongs in a porno in this movie.
He does. His hair is so, like, way too blonde.
He's so tan and so jacked.
Yeah.
He just like, looks like he came off the set of somewhere in, like, Burbank.
He's, like, always oily and, like,
yeah.
The first scene is his ass. Like, the first time you see him is his
you
ass.
You see his ass. He's, like, orange.
There's definitely some sweet scenes. I think the opening fight between him and that gigantic guy where he just like runs up and hits him in the trap real quick. There's some really sweet moments, but all in all, Troy fell flat all the way across the board.
You remembered it as being sweet, and then we watched it for the show, and it was not good.
Okay, look, I remembered Troy the same way I remembered The Patriot.
Right.
Being like, you're going to love this. Yeah. And then, like, literally a minute into Troy, I was like, oh, God.
You're happy that The Patriot's pretty high on here.
Oh, dude, that movie's so good.
Yeah, it's sweet.
All right, so moving on to our next movie is a movie that we actually did with the Six Degrees of Separation girls. Six Degrees of Movies.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Miss Movies and Stacey Howard. Yep. Number 83, Cliffhanger. Another Stallone.
John Lithgow.
Lithgow.
You want to kill me, don't you, Tucker? Don't you, Tucker? Get in line.
Yeah, he's good.
He's real evil.
Yeah, he's great in this movie.
And their little fight at the end is, like, kind of believable.
Oh, yeah, and get off the air, you bastard. Bastard.
Yeah.
He's great.
I think just off of Lithgow alone makes this movie. Like, Cliffhanger's a classic. Everyone loves Cliffhanger.
Michael Rooker, yeah, he's sweet. It's another Rooker movie. Yeah, this is the most memorable part of this entire movie. I saw this in theaters with my dad, who's, by the way, sitting on the couch watching his dudes right now.
He's here hanging out.
And this is the opening scene where they're trying to save him, and Stallone's trying to, like, hold her, and she's going to...
Oh, yeah.
The opening scene's the best part of this movie. And the trailer to this movie, because it has no words. It's like an opera. It's like an opera with action scenes.
The first time I ever saw this movie, I was like, oh, my gosh, they took that from the beginning of Ace Ventura Pet Detective 2.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, wait. I was young when I first saw it. So, Cliffhanger, Stallone in his prime, Lithgow's one of the best villains ever out there.
I don't even think this is Stallone in his prime. I think this is phase two Stallone. Mid-80s Stallone is his prime. This is like 93.
But he could still kind of do no wrong at this point.
Yeah.
He'd done a little wrong, this but is people like, still were giving him...
This is like Demolition Man, Cliffhanger, Daylight era where
he's
it starts
starting
to
go down.
These are all the movies that I saw in theaters with my dad. I think I saw all of those movies in theaters with my dad.
You saw so many cooler movies than I saw with my mom.
moving on to number 82, we have... I'm thirsty as fuck.
Thirsty as fuck, Mr. President.
Like, what?
Gerard Butler returns for his role as Mike Banning.
Babe. I know that's not in this one, but it's just...
London Has Fallen, guys. Number 82, a film that we got to go to a press screening for. That was just last year.
Yeah. This movie was so sweet. It's so fun and dumb and just... Like, I was blown away.
Here's what's great about this movie. Nothing. No, just kidding. Here's what's great about this movie. London Has Fallen is, for some reason... The movie, the lowest film on our list, that the episode on YouTube took off.
Oh, yeah.
This one has 700,000 hits.
Yeah, it's massive.
This is like one of the ones that everyone's watched. When people have seen our show, this is the second highest viewed episode of our show ever.
Other than Mad Max Fury Road.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why? We don't know. Are we happy about it? Of course.
Of course.
And if you go and watch that episode, you'll see that we were very enthusiastic about this film. And it's just...
We're pumped up.
It's the modern day one man against the world, and they do it right.
Gerard Butler is a force.
He really
is. He's a tour de force. Moving on to number 81, one of Andrew's favorite films of all time, we have 2004's The Punisher.
God, I love this movie.
I know you
so
do.
So much. The fact that we even got to do it on the show is a win for me.
So for this, for you, in the way that I so lovingly talk about Tony Scott Denzel movies, like I can't turn them off. Is that what this is for you?
If this movie's on TV, I will turn the sound up and I will watch the rest of it.
Every time.
Every damn time.
Yeah.
It's just so, like...
Will Patton.
Will Patton's great. John Travolta is at his, like, best villain. He's so good.
He's really good.
And Thomas Jane as the Punisher is actually really sweet. I actually think that's something that could have been a real thing.
Right. Go watch the... there's a fan film called Punisher Dirty Laundry that got made a few years later with him just murdering people by a laundromat.
Yeah.
And it's pretty sweet to watch.
There's really good kills in it. The whole I love revenge stories.
He's got the bow.
He's got the bow, which is awesome. And I made you kill your best friend.
Yeah.
I made you kill your wife. And now I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
Just great.
And he drags him, and he makes the Punisher's skulls out of burning cars.
That is a little over the top, but I don't know how he choreographed that from an aerial view, but I like that he tried.
His relationship to Rebecca Romijn and Spacker Dave, another Ben Foster character, played very well.
Really good.
Kevin Nash, that whole thing is great.
Yeah, the fight with him and Kevin Nash is so gnarly, the boiling water in the face. It's actually... Will you admit that it's better than you thought it was going to be?
100,000%.
Yes.
I enjoyed this movie.
Okay.
Moving
awesome.
On from number 81, guys, we have another award for you, and this is an exciting one. If you guys have watched the show for 100 episodes, then you know how much we love our favorite lines, and we have some really good ones. The honorable mention, it's not on this list. This cabinet minister, does he always travel on the wrong side of the border? What did you say, Schwarzenegger? What was that line you just said?
Did you just throw up on the mic? Say it again. Another one we have is, damn him, damn that man.
That is from The Patriot.
We've got... Why are we here?
Why are we here, Brennan? From Warrior, an improvised speech by Frank Grillo, written originally by our friend Anthony Timbakis, but just a really great speech.
It's
and finally,
so if you, yeah, that speech is so good.
We have Alec Baldwin in the Edge, Charles. Just the word Charles. He says it like 92 times in the movie.
And then the very last one is from your favorite, Gary Busey performance of all time, maybe.
Yeah, I would say probably my number two favorite Busey behind Point Break.
Behind Point Break.
Angela
yeah.
Pappas is a great character. But,
Utah, give me two.
Give me two.
Yeah.
But in Lethal Weapon, Officer Murtaugh, don't be foolish. Look at the hardware.
The amount of times that we said that over the next 6 months after covering that was absurd.
It was. I didn't like watching Lethal Weapon particularly on this show.
Right.
I thought it was like pretty overrated, and I was so charmed by him and that line. I loved it. He steps out of the car. His teeth are whiter than the white hammer pants that he's wearing.
Not as white as the scarf.
Yeah. So it's just, the scene is absurd. Busey is just at his fucking best.
And as fans, it goes to show that you guys know our show and you know us. You guys voted for Officer Murtaugh. Don't be foolish.
Yeah. So the winner, based on our votes and the fan vote, was Officer Murtaugh. Don't be foolish. Look at the hardware.
Such a good line.
Such a great
from
line.
Such a great actor.
Moving on, guys, to number 80. We've got Tom Cruise in Jack Reacher. Now, this Reacher film
is good.
Is actually a pretty sweet movie.
I like Jai Courtney for the first time in a while. I'm not a big fan of him.
This movie isn't great. It has a couple great moments, but Cruise specifically in this movie is really good. He like single-handedly saves the movie from being otherwise quite mediocre. His scene when he fights the dudes in the street and he kicks Josh Helman in the nuts, who, by the way, had a conversation with Josh Helman about getting kicked in the nuts by Tom Cruise.
It was awesome.
When I interviewed him last year, I was like, how did his foot feel?
No. That's what he said.
I really said that. You can look it up on YouTube. It's great. And Cruise, when he has the whole sequence beginning in the bar talking to the girl. I can't remember her name.
Yeah.
But when she's like, I don't mind the sight of blood. He's like, at least it means you're not pregnant.
Yeah, something like that. You're like, Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus, Tom, calm down.
He has some good lines. Some really good lines.
And then if you want to talk real straight up action, the fight with him and Jai Courtney in the rain with the breaking of the bones, and it's a good
fight. He has a flying knee to the face.
Yeah.
It's a really good fight.
It's a really good fight.
Yeah.
It's a good movie. It's a great movie. It just just not one of our absolute favorites, but very fun to watch.
It's a fun enough movie to watch, definitely. It's worth watching just for Cruise. Number 79, your least favorite of the Tony Scott Denzel collabs.
I just don't like how a train can be a villain.
Unstoppable, guys. Another movie that if it's on TV, I have to watch it. I can't turn this one off.
The reason that this movie is so high on the list is not only... Dude, this is one of those times where it's like, look, man, you just got to suck up your pride and be like, this movie's in the 90s on Rotten Tomatoes. That's what you told me.
I think
like,
it is.
Yeah, it's like in the high 80s or 90s. You're like, dude, it's this what it's ranked.
Yeah.
What are you going to...
People like Unstoppable.
It's a good movie. It's edited and written correctly. It's paced correctly. And Pine and Denzel...
Together.
Their relationship together is excellent. I will say that.
The thing about this movie and about Taking of Pelham was that at this point in their relationship together, even though the movies themselves aren't great, Tony Scott had figured out how to get what he wanted out of Denzel so masterfully.
Yeah.
Which is why he has those scenes. It's the same scene as in Taking of Pelham, except this time where he's like, he's like, if you don't stop this train, I will fire you, Kevin Dunn.
Yeah.
And Denzel's like, you already did.
Yeah, you already did. Got my 30-day notice 3 weeks ago or something like that, right?
And Kevin Dunn's like, so you're going to risk your life for me with 21 days left. And he's like, I'm not doing it for you. And you're like, oh, I love you, Denzel.
You're so
the best.
Honorable. Yeah.
So honorable. Yeah, this movie's sweet.
Yeah, it's so funny how all those movies are held together by, like, specific great moments of Denzel acting.
Yeah, 100%. This was the most notable thing about this film is that Star Trek came out and Chris Pine all of a sudden was a megastar, and this was the next movie that he was in.
Yeah.
So people saw it, I think, as much for Denzel as they saw it for Chris Pine.
Yeah, and Chris Pine's fine in it. He's great. So moving on to number 78 is the seventh installment in the Furious franchise, Fast and Furious 7. Great movie, super enjoyable, a lot of really awesome action. You guys probably know from watching this show that Ben and I aren't the biggest fans of the Fast and Furious franchise. It's not that we dislike them. They're just not really our type of movies, really.
Aside from The Rock, who is the best part of the franchise, they're not filled with characters that we particularly love.
And they don't really feel like they exist in a world that's real.
Yeah.
But the handling of the unfortunate, untimely death of Paul Walker in Seven, the ending of Seven, which I think if you didn't walk out of that theater with tears in your eyes,
yeah, I teared up.
If you have a soul. And the jumping in the three buildings in Dubai,
yeah,
if you
want
to talk straight up action. It's a good movie. I think this is where they peak. I haven't watched 8 yet, and I know you didn't like 8
yeah,
a
I didn't
lot.
Like 8.
I think 7's where they peak. But again, I think this award really is for the masterful handling of the untimely death of Paul.
There, yeah, I mean, Paul Walker was, they were not done filming yet, and this movie is cohesive and a good movie. So that is number 78, R.I.P. Paul Walker.
Yeah.
Coming up, number 77, we have the first film in the Fallen franchise, Olympus Has Fallen. This is Mike Banning, Special Forces, Ranger Battalion. He will move mountains or die trying. Trust me, I know this guy.
Okay, sold.
Done.
I want that guy working for me. I wanted London to be higher than Olympus, but Ben made a very strong point that Olympus is a better movie.
I'm sorry, babe. You were talking about Penny.
Sorry, babe. That moment of him, if for nothing else, the moment of him in the kitchen apologizing to his wife is so unbelievably beautiful.
That's a wonderful
that
film.
That you should just watch just that.
Wonderful moment. They just literally said, let's make an exceptionally violent version of Die Hard in the White House and put Gerard Butler in it.
And it's done right. It's super fun. It doesn't waste time. And Butler's, he's awesome.
He's great. He has actual movie star charisma.
Yeah.
He has legitimate movie star charisma in this movie. His career has been a bizarre hodgepodge of movies like Machine Gun Preacher.
Weren't we going to make a rule that just Gerard Butler can't act?
Yes. He's a bad actor. That was a rule on our show.
But it's not that you don't enjoy him.
No, he's great.
He's just bad.
Yeah, I love me some Gerard, so.
I'm going to take the next one because I love this movie.
Okay.
Yeah. Number 76 is Under Siege. Casey Ryback, gratuitous breasts, silencers, C4, Tommy Lee Jones, and Gary Busey doing inordinate amounts of cocaine on set, eating rotten meat, which is a real thing. We were told by someone working on that film.
This is the Navy. It's not a job. It's an adventure.
It's an adventure. Why are you talking like that? Gary Busey cross-dressing. This is the, like, if you were going to take the outline of a 90s film, time, characters, actors, martial artists, C4, silencers, this movie fits it perfectly.
Perfectly. It's this movie's a modern day masterpiece.
The movie's a 90s masterpiece.
We like watched it with Covino and Rich from Sirius. They came on and did the show with us. They were just like, Covino was like, yeah, my fist pump moment was at this movie's end. It's terrible. It's not a good movie.
What are you talking about? Yeah, it just it is right, and it makes sense that it's at 76. It's a solid C.
It's got Busey in another great role. Sir, why do you tolerate that clown?
Sir, why are you letting me wear this dress?
He's still in drag. Next up, we've got the Dockbuster, directed by Peter Berg, second to most recent, which is crazy. There's another one that's come out since this.
Yeah.
Deepwater Horizon, a movie that's really good.
The Dockbuster King of modern day cinema. Good movie. Great movie. I'm going to throw a few things in there that I think about. A great action movie needs a great villain.
Yep.
That's why you know how I feel about Unstoppable and Jack Reacher and some of those other ones we talked about, MI4. Deepwater Horizon, though, is so good.
It really
is very, very well done. It just isn't enough for me. Does
sure.
that make sense?
No, I totally. It's missing the thing that makes it, like, truly great.
Truly compelling.
But what it is... when you're watching it, like Kurt Russell's great.
He's
just
very good.
He's just really good. Mark Wahlberg is great. Malkovich is actually a great, like, kind of villain.
Yeah, he is. And, like, yeah, the way that they show BP, the fact that they actually just use BP in the movie is really interesting. This movie is incredibly informative.
Yeah.
That shit that went down was, like, a travesty against the entire planet.
Right.
And them covering it authentically in this movie makes sense that it's not like, oh my God, what's going to happen next? No, it's real life.
Yeah.
But this actually happened, and I think the fact that it actually happened does make the suspense in this movie that much more real.
I agree. Moving on to number 74, we have a Swayze picture.
Yes.
Roadhouse. I don't fly. It's too dangerous.
Roadhouse. Yeah. Roadhouse.
Roadhouse.
Wesley! It's all right, mijo.
You're all fucked up, mijo.
I was sure that he was the you know he's gonna die guy.
Oh, really?
I was sure of it.
Yeah.
I was glad he didn't.
This movie's sweet. This movie is everything that you want out of a ridiculous 80s action movie.
It is.
When the like main villain dude, not the main guy, but his like henchman first shows up and he's got like the giant cross earring.
And you're to fuck guys like you in prison. What?
That's
did you just say to me?
You're like, were you the other guy on set with Troy, with Brad Pitt? Because it looks like the two of you guys were together on set.
I'll be a stunt devil. We don't need that here.
Stunt cock, stunt cock. This movie, this Roadhouse, genuinely entertaining. This is Swayze in his just pre-prime. It's a shame to me that Swayze's career
is nothing like what you
wasn't
try to
more
tell
full
it
of
is.
Wasn't more full of truly great movies.
Yeah,
that it's a combination of like a few really pretty good movies and a few pretty and some really ridiculous movies like this.
Yeah, like cult classics.
Yeah, he is like as close to the definition of a cult classic actor as ever's to live, because his filmography is so small relative to how famous he is.
Right, and you can never call him a cult classic actor though, because he's too beautiful. And he won Sexiest Man Alive and things like that. You can't be a cult classic actor and be
People Magazine 1990. Yeah, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
We know you still have it, man. Yeah, Roadhouse. And if you talk to anyone that grew up watching movies in the 80s, like action movies in the 80s, they were in their 20s in the 80s, they all love that movie.
Next up, we've got Twister, 73, a film that we only kind of actually covered on the show. This was part of our Paxton Movie Anatomy episode.
We had to throw it in. I think that the reason this movie is down at 73, I mean, obviously it's not like, again, no great villain for me, but we talked about it. Bill Paxton is the greatest character actor, supporting actor, and great action blockbusters and things like that. He's not really the best leading man.
No. He's not. He's totally good in this movie.
Absolutely.
And this movie is totally memorable, but it's just, it wasn't really necessary. Like, they didn't need to make Bill Paxton the leading man in a movie. Mm-hmm. Didn't make the movie more watchable.
And I think that if they would have found someone else, I don't know who that would have been.
Yeah.
Maybe it would have been more watchable.
Would have been like Mel, probably.
Yeah.
96, Gibson. That make this right. Make this instead of Payback or Ransom or something.
All right, moving on to our very... was this the first Marvel movie ever?
This might have been the first Marvel... No, I think we did Punisher first. Maybe we did Blade first. I'm not sure, but...
I know we did Punisher first, yeah. Is 72 is Blade.
Yeah, Blade.
Some motherfuckers is always trying to ice skate uphill.
Ice skate uphill. Steven Dorff is awesome.
He is. Snipes is totally badass in this movie. It's another movie I saw in theaters with my dad.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, this was really violent.
Yeah, I watched this with my mom and her boyfriend when they were dating, and I remember... like watching that first techno fight scene with the, I was petrified.
Like, I was, the opening scene of this movie is really cool, and it still holds up as being pretty cool.
And actually, a lot of things in this movie hold up, and a lot of things don't hold
up. Right. Yep.
The fat UV light burning gross thing.
I'd literally forgotten it happened.
Is really offensive to watch.
Yeah.
It's really hard to listen to. And there's, you know, there's just things about Blade that make it a good movie, but it's not a great film.
Agreed. Fully agree. Number 71, this is pretty controversial. This is the only episode of Action Movie Anatomy on YouTube we've ever done to get more dislikes than likes, because we tore it to shreds, and that's Independence Day. A modern classic.
And you know what? We'll take it. We will take everything that comes at all the heat that comes at us from putting Independence Day at 71. We stand firmly behind this.
On Tuesday, we talked about the Bill Paxton speech in Independence Day is the greatest speech in the history of film. And that's why this movie's good. But the movie itself, aside from that speech, is bad.
Yeah, and Randy Quaid is good. But all the things about this movie that you used to love, mainly Will Smith, are unwatchable. And the only reason Jeff Goldblum is so great is because he balances out Smith, and he makes him watchable. Randy Quaid, I think, is the second best part of this film. I think Bill Pullman's speech is number one. Brent, I can't remember his name. The doctor.
Brent Huntley?
Yeah, no, the doctor.
Brent Spiner?
Yeah, Brent Spiner. He's fun. He's cool, sweet. But
they ruined him with the new one by bringing him back.
They sure did. Yep. So at 71 is Independence Day, which gets us to our next award, guys. That is the King of RAR.
And we mentioned this to start the show, guys. Rating above replacement, the value you bring to a film by when you're billed lower in the movie, like your fifth or sixth or seventh build, and how much value do you bring to that movie by being in it relative to your billing, your cost.
Right. So like Ben was saying, I think one of your best examples of this was like if you're billed sixth on the cast list, how many points on IMDb do you make this movie go up? 0.1, 0.2, 0.6?
Right.
A whole point? That's massive for someone that's paid sixth highest.
How many scenes do you steal? Things like that. So the nominees for the King of RAR on Action Movie Anatomy through 100 episodes are Brendan Gleeson, Brian Cox,
just Ed Cox,
Kevin Dunn, and Bill Paxton.
Now, for those of you guys that are like, why is Kevin Dunn on this list? He's awesome. Okay, Kevin's in Warrior...
He's unstoppable.
He's in Transformers.
Yeah.
Like, this guy is in action movies all over.
He's in Almost Heroes.
And he is in Almost Heroes. And the fans voted for Bill Paxton.
Bill Paxton. And the winner of King of Rar goes to Bill Paxton.
Bill Paxton.
The fans knew what they wanted on this one, guys. I think that's a pretty obvious one. This one doesn't feel like a stretch. The category was created for Brian Cox, but really belongs to Bill Paxton.
Yeah, it absolutely. And, yeah, nothing needs to be more said about that other than rest in peace, Bill, and we love what you do, man. So, moving on to number 70, a shockingly good movie brought to you from the director of Training Day, The Magnificent Seven.
The remake of Mag 7. Here's a trivia question for you. Can you name three of the original Mag 7 actors from the original?
No. I bet your dad can.
I'm pretty sure I name all of them.
Yeah,
I'll
he's
bet.
Over there yeah. nodding like, yeah. put me on the schmodown. I honestly can't.
I think it's like Yul Brynner's in there, Charles Bronson, Steve McQueen.
Yeah.
That's three. That might be the only three I can name.
Though. What else we got in there that we were missing?
Yeah, I think those.
Tall skinny guy. James Coburn.
That sounds right. All right. Well, that's four.
That's
so anyway,
impressive.
And the guy from Magnificent, the guy from Mission Impossible, the original Mission Impossible.
I know what you're talking about. I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
The older white guy. Yeah.
In any case, the new Magnificent Seven directed by Antoine Fuqua was quite good. It actually was pretty entertaining. Denzel kind of phones it in this one, which is a little weird.
It's so crazy that this is one of those movies where Denzel's actually not the best part of a movie he's in. I think D'Onofrio is the best part of this movie.
D'Onofrio makes a great choice.
There's
with his
also
character.
The guy that played the villain in the new Terminator Genesis. I can never remember his name.
Oh, sure.
The Asian guy.
Yeah,
he's Korean. I'm Korean. We can say that. It's just cool. D'Onofrio made a great choice. The twist, or not the twist, but the Chris Pratt and what happens to him and his character was interesting. And
Pratt's sweet in this movie.
It's a little darker than you thought it was going to be.
Pretty violent.
And it's just it was just surprisingly good.
Yeah, I agree.
70 seems like a very good place for it to be. So moving on to number 69, I wish we had John Rocha here.
Yeah.
To call it in. But what does John refer to Armageddon as, Ben?
I don't want to close my eyes. Now, he refers to it as the greatest American action film ever made. I think it was the greatest American film?
The greatest American film ever made.
Yeah, or something like that.
Yeah.
He basically just says it's like a fucking giant erect cock wrapped in an American flag is what he always says this movie is.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, it's America in a film. I do not feel so strongly about Armageddon.
I love Armageddon.
But it was fun going back and watching it. I'll admit that. The song, Live, Bruce.
Yeah, it's sweet. It's this is Ben Affleck's big turn as a legitimate action star. This is where he blew up and he became like one of the biggest actors ever.
And as much as you want to deny it, like there's those movies that happened like Armageddon and Pearl Harbor and that you just can't deny. You can't not talk about
this movie made a lot of money. It was the highest grossing film of the year.
Yep.
It's written by Jonathan Hensley.
And like everyone in it's famous.
Yep.
Now.
Moving on to number 68, a sleeper hit of the show.
What one man can do, another can do.
What one man can do, another can do.
Say it again, Bob.
The Edge, starring none other than Alec Baldwin and Anthony Hopkins. I got a quick Anthony or Alec Baldwin story for
Bart
you.
Bart the Bear. Yes, please.
Shall I tell my story again?
I love this story.
Working at Nordstrom years ago, guys, Baldwin comes in, he's shopping, and he sits down in the Nordstrom grill. And I say to the waiter afterwards, hey, how was that? She's like, oh, Baldwin was great. I was like, what did he order? She's like, oh, he ordered a bowl of soup. And a sandwich, and a fish sandwich, actually. Oh, cool. And then what happened? I walk up, and he looks at me, and he says, that was the best fish sandwich I've ever tasted. Give me another one. Order the same thing. He ate it again. He ate it back-to-back twice in the same meal. It's like my favorite Baldwin story ever.
And that's why he's ranked number 68.
such a classic.
I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
I will be that person one day.
Somebody will tell that story
that
about you.
So good. I'll take another.
The Edge is great. It's directed by Lee Tamahori, who is not a great director. It's written by David Mamet.
He was a phenomenal writer.
The relationship between Alec Baldwin and Anthony Hopkins in this movie is so underrated.
A photographer with an eye for beauty.
And a wonderful trailer.
I don't think you and I were more surprised by any other movie on this entire list. And if we were going to do this by favorites, this would be in the top 20, I think. Top 25 of the show.
Greatest episode of the show, which is going to be an award later. Surprise, this is a nominee. It's a nominee for the greatest episode we ever did. This has the most literal reenactment of a scene ever. Andrew and I actually reenact the entire What One Man Can Do, Another Can Do scene.
Almost better than they do it.
I think it's pretty phenomenal. We love this movie. We love this. It's The Edge is just great, guys. If you haven't seen The Edge, go watch
it's
The Edge.
It's so good. And again, it's one of those things where I'm always like, great villain, great movie, great villain. Bart the Bear is awesome.
Great villain.
Yeah. So moving on to number 67, Gone in 60 Seconds. Now, this movie being here, I think, speaks more about when it came out, what it did for the people in it, than it actually being like a great, great film.
Let's do this.
It's the turn of action movies.
Yeah, definitely.
And like what we expected as an audience. It's Angelina Jolie, like, in her hottest moments.
With her hair all crazy
and
dreads.
The tattoos. And yeah, so this is just a really iconic early 2000s action movie.
Feels like aside from... So his most memorable role ever is Saving Private Ryan, Giovanni Ribisi. But I feel like this is his most memorable role in the sense that everyone saw this movie and remembers. Like, it's different because Saving Private Ryan, you remember for Tom Hanks.
And you remember for the character of Gio.
Yeah.
Not him.
But I didn't even remember that he was in the movie until we watched it recently. Whereas this movie, when I think about it, I really think of three people.
Absolutely.
It's Angelina, it's Nick Cage, and it's Giovanni Ribisi.
It's not Raymond Calitri.
Raymond Calitri.
Which also, as another reason it's up there, it's got a sweet villain
name. It's got a sweet villain. He's a really good villain name. He's a woodworker. Menacing.
He's making chairs and murdering.
Yeah.
Moving on to number 66. My favorite of the Bourne trilogy, The Bourne Supremacy, the second installment.
Though it's listed here third.
What do you mean?
I mean, it's the third ranked of the Bourne trilogy.
Yeah, you know, it's my favorite, though.
I know, and I'm saying it's crazy that it's
exactly.
Your favorite.
And the reason why is because you made a really good point, is that this movie doesn't really need to happen.
Aside from the death of Marie.
And what happens in the first minute, or like 5 minutes of the movie, I mean, Carl Urban's sweet, the chase is awesome, the fighting with the rolled-up newspaper is great. There's all these great things, things that made it a good sequel. But I think when you look at sequels, you got to talk about like John Wick 2.
Yeah.
You got to bring it to the next level. You
right.
got to really... pump it up a notch, and this didn't really do that. It just kind of did the same thing.
The third movie does more of. It's just a better version of what this is trying to do.
Yeah, and I think what shines so great about the first one and the third one are they're the extremes.
Right.
I don't know who I am. I know exactly who I am.
Yeah.
He's caught in the middle in The Supremacy.
The second one
is fun to watch.
The second one is just an extension of the first movie in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's The Bourne Supremacy. Number 65. We've got one of Andrew's favorite films of all time, Con Air.
Yes.
Dear Hummingbird.
Yo, Hummingbird, put the bunnet back in the box.
This movie is filled... This is one of the things I think is so funny about this movie and a lot of those the big Cage action movies. There was a sense that the actors in these movies were doing quality films when they were doing them.
Yeah.
Like, they look back on them. Like, Michael T. Williamson, who I just met from Heat, was like... He was in this movie, and this was like, at the time, like, oh, I'm going to be in another big, successful movie. I was just in Heat. Now I'm going to be in Con Air. It's like,
yeah.
Con Air?
Right. I mean, but at the time, why wouldn't it?
Yeah, right.
Nick Cage, Academy Award winner. You know, John Malkovich blowing up. Like, all you have the massive ensemble cast of these
John
people.
Cusack, Cole Meany.
Danny Trejo. Danny Trejo, like, Ving Rhames. You've got a cast here.
Yeah.
You've got people in this movie, and it's a big summer action blockbuster.
Got the whole world.
Yeah, Buscemi was so creepy.
Yeah, so creepy.
It's fun. It's so good. It's so ridiculous now.
Cage's hair is phenomenal.
The lighting of this film is a little ridiculous. There's just so many things about this movie that make it, got to keep it out of our top 50.
Absolutely. Moving on to a very recent film, John Wick Chapter 2 coming in at number 64. The John Wick franchise, just a wonderful surprise from Keanu. Just an absolutely incredible part of his career. So much fun to watch. This movie took the first movie and it elevated it to a point that it really did something special.
Absolutely. I was watching behind the scenes on John Wick 2 yesterday, and they were saying the only way you can make John Wick 2 better than John Wick 1, is you have to make Keanu better.
Yep.
You have to make him better as a shooter. You have to make him the best shooting actor in Hollywood, and he is now. Like you said, they elevated it, which seemed impossible to do.
It's like 30 minutes too long, but it's a sweet movie.
Yeah, you can only see the same way to kill someone so many times before it kind of loses its value.
Totally. Number 63, the very first Denzel-Tony Scott collaboration, Crimson Tide. And what do we say? What is it like? What do we call this ship? Go Bama!
Go Bama! Roll Tide!
Yeah.
This movie's sweet. The explosions of emotion between Denzel and Hackman when they're fighting over the control, Gandolfini, Viggo sweating.
Sweaty Viggo's great.
There's just so many great things about this movie, and it's so cool to see both of them before they figured out who they were.
Huge cast. Steve Zahn.
Yeah.
Matt Craven.
Don't ever say Steve or huge cast and then Steve Zahn right afterwards. It's not good.
Hackman is just great. He's just... Like the relationship between Hackman and Denzel, the subtle conversations of racism that they're having about the Stallions. It's a great movie.
There's so many great subtleties thrown in. It's like the top of my list. Well, thank you, sir. It's a very short list.
It's a very short list. Right. Yeah. Next up, you've got another Denzel Tony Scott film, and that is in Deja Vu, a movie that we decided to make a very strong statement about.
I almost feel like if we would have done the rankings 2 days later, this might even be higher.
Right.
You and I both watched it again recently.
Yeah. After we talked, I was like, I kind of want to go watch Deja Vu.
It's me too.
Yeah.
And I did.
Yeah, me too.
It's really good, the first half.
Here's what I think about Deja Vu. I think the first hour of Deja Vu is legitimately awesome. I think that movie is paced really well. Even things like when he first is at the crime scene, he's calling and he hears the phone ring and he's confused.
Yeah.
And then when he finds out that Minuti's car was brought in with the victim's cars, there's like really good moments in this movie. Denzel is like the smartest guy in the room.
That guy you shot was my partner.
Yeah. He's just great. Denzel, it's weird because in some ways I almost think that this is the best Tony Scott Denzel. In some ways, it's like he's most enjoyable in this of the five movies. Man on Fire, Denzel's great.
Yeah, I think the only reason that I disagree and say Man on Fire is because of the relationship between him and Dakota.
Yeah.
And I think it's because of her. Not that Paula Patton's not good. I think she's phenomenal in this. I just think that there's something so endearing about the two of them in that.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, you know I love you. Or, you know, whatever he says. Creasy Bear, do you love me?
Yeah.
Yeah, Deja Vu's so good. It is a bummer that if they could have just reeled in a couple things.
Just a little
just
bit.
Just throw in one more person in the car with him when he's doing the chase.
Yep.
Make it more real. You know, like
something,
just some things in there that made it just a little bit falling off the cliff of absurdity.
Brace yourselves. I think you're about to witness a murder.
Great, great line.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Yeah, moving on.
Number 61. Either you refuel plane or plane crash.
Yeah.
It's fucking Gary Oldman and Air Force One. This was the first R-rated movie that I saw with my mom, and it was because she loved it so much she let me watch it.
This movie was a huge hit. It's really sweet. It's like totally entertaining. It was the first episode of the show we ever did.
Yeah, the Air first Force episode One. Ever with our buddy Matt. And the reason we did it first is because you and I both really, really love this movie. Now, you and I regard it probably higher than a lot of people.
It's by most people's standards, I think it's kind of a throwaway action movie from the 90s. It's like a good throwaway action movie,
right.
But it's a throwaway.
But like, get off my plane.
Yeah.
And, you know, Gary Oldman. And then, of course, Xander Berkeley being one of the ultimate shit weasels of all time.
William H. Macy's great in this movie.
Yeah.
If you guys want a funny sight, go watch the episode. Andrew has a moon for a face.
I do. It's amazing how much larger I was 2 years ago.
2 years. You didn't even feel at the time, you didn't feel large.
No, 2 years ago, I was like, I'm getting in shape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
You guys will be blown away. Andrew went through puberty.
I did. Speaking of making comebacks, that is our next award, is the Comeback Player of the Year.
Yeah.
Now, guys, this is someone that has had a great run in their career. They were super famous. They were A-list quality, and they kind of just fell by the wayside.
The way that I was talking about earlier how we have to define these awards, this is the one that's kind of more of like a within the last like 5 to 10 years, because this is not just in reference to the 2 years since we started doing the show.
No, not at all.
It's really in reference to like probably more like 2010s-ish, because each of the nominees who are...
Yeah, or you could actually, even if not putting a date on it, you could even go to just these actors specifically and moments in their career.
Yep. So, Comeback Player of the Year. The nominees are... Charlize Theron
for Mad Max Fury Road.
Tom Cruise for the new Mission Impossible
films. Tom Cruise.
Being Tom Cruise and being loved by the world again.
Yep.
Gerard Butler for returning from his 300 fame, making 2 hit action films. And finally, Keanu Reeves for his 2 John Wick films.
Yes, and the fans voted for Mr. Keanu Reeves in John Wick, which we...
Agreed.
Absolutely. Guys, how can you argue this? Like, you go through and you watch the training that Keanu's going through. The fact that he is... Look, if Tom Cruise is the best stunt actor in Hollywood, Keanu Reeves is the best firearm-handling actor in Hollywood. You go through and you watch the training, and look, no one thought those movies were going to be as good as they are. No one thought those movies were going to be in the 90s.
No one.
It was insane. And the fact that John Wick 2 came out and it was just as awesome... Good for you, man.
Unbelievable.
So happy for you. Like, how many people could come back from playing Neo?
Right. Oh, my God.
And be something else.
Yeah, he's got a pretty amazing run of characters. That was, I think, when we talked about this movie, we were talking about that thesis statements of who has the best run of characters they've ever played.
Yeah, between, like, Bill and Ted, Johnny Utah, Neo.
John Wick, yeah.
John Wick.
It's pretty crazy. Amazing. Number 60, guys, we have the film that I saw the night my parents decided to tell me they were splitting up.
Oh, God, I wish your dad was in here right now. That's amazing. That's such a cool story. Well, not
that. Not a cool story.
It's just an interesting reference point.
The film Ronin is number 60 on the list. De Niro digging a bullet out of himself. Great car
so
chase.
Good.
David Mamet.
Sean Bean.
Yeah, this movie's sweet. This movie's totally sweet.
It's just aged a little bit.
Yeah. It wasn't as exciting as I remembered it to be, but it's a good movie. It's like this is the last time De Niro was truly awesome in a movie. This was it. This was 98. This was the end.
3 years after Heat.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Moving on to number 59. The movie that I had the pleasure of making Benjamin watch for the very first time on the show is The Patriot.
Damn him.
Damn that man.
You know the picture I pulled?
Which one?
It's Jason Isaacs.
Yes,
Jason Isaacs with his
hair
down.
Because Jason Isaacs as Tavington is one of the greatest villains on this show ever.
Yeah.
Heath Ledger is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a very, very good movie. It is a 90s action movie, though, still.
Yeah, it's
it
like a 90s Hollywoodized action epic. It's like a little long and a little ridiculous, and it's like campy, and but it's super entertaining, and the cast is so sweet. Tom Wilkinson and Chris Cooper.
Yeah, and he just, I think another thing is that he plays a little too close to William Wallace a little too soon.
Yeah.
And that movie suffered a little bit from that as well.
People were just like, I don't know, come on, look, we don't need to watch you do this again.
Right. So we're about to get to a really interesting stretch here, and I want you to talk about number 58.
Okay.
Which is
Speed.
The reason Speed is so much higher than certain movies like, or not so much higher, but are higher than movies like The Patriot, Air Force One, Con Air, Armageddon. Why is that, Ben?
Well, there's a couple different reasons. First of all, Speed is referenced frequently by people as one of the definitive action films of the 90s.
Yep.
It was spoofed and referenced by people for the next several years in a way that, like, a lot of these other movies really weren't.
Mm-hmm.
Speed has kind of, the concept of a bus that can't slow down, they have to keep it above 50, and like that's what's exciting. It's a really exciting concept. It was Die Hard on a bus.
Exactly. It was Die Hard on a bus, and it was with someone else, and it was with an up-and-coming Sandra Bullock, Dennis Hopper being an awesome villain, Daniels being a dramatic actor.
Yeah. Also, like, taking Keanu from Point Break in 91, which was a big hit that people liked, and this was his return to the action genre just a few years later.
And we always talk about actors maturing.
Yeah.
It's amazing how much he'd matured just from Johnny Utah to this.
Yeah, this is his first legitimate action star role. Like, he's an action star in Point Break, but people expected that from him now, whereas back then, Johnny Utah was a surprise. People didn't know if he could do it or not.
Yeah, absolutely.
Speed is iconic. Speed is a relevant movie, and a quite good movie, actually. The pacing of
it. Yeah, Speed's actually really good.
Yeah.
And, like, Daniel's dying, it adds realness to it.
The last 20 minutes is unnecessary, but...
Yeah, a little bit. So, moving on to our next film. John Woo's maybe our favorite?
He's definitely my favorite John Woo movie.
It's Face Off.
Face Off.
At number 57.
I'm Caster Troy!
He's crying. So fun.
This movie's sweet. That's Thomas Jane. That was a Thomas Jane scene.
Yeah, Thomas Jane scene. And then also, like, this is another one where I was like, dude, we I don't know. 57, that's so high. Look at these movies. It's in front of. We've got movies that have Academy Award nominations. Do we? We probably do. That we've passed already. Look, it's in the 90s.
Every bad action movie has an Academy Award nomination for something technical.
Yeah,
in the
90s. Exactly.
That's just what happened.
This movie's in the 90s.
Yeah.
In its ratings. Travolta and Cage are excellent.
What's your favorite Sean Archer line again? Interception.
Interception. Yeah. like his delivery of that. Yeah, the intercepted. Like right after he defuses the bomb is so good.
Travolta's so sweet in this.
Yeah, he's a great bad guy.
Yeah. Great. This was like part of his run in the 90s of just strictly playing bad guys. Broken Arrow was like a year later.
I will never understand someone that goes from being such a heartthrob to being a bad guy so quickly.
Agreed. He's great. 56 is one that we really didn't know what to do with. This is The Nice Guy, Shane Black's film from last year.
It's not really an action movie.
No, it's not. It's just, it's from the guy that did Lethal Weapon, and it's great. Is this movie, I died in the theater.
You and I were like bellied over laughing for 90% of those movies in the theater.
Yeah.
And the thing is that it feels like the movies we do on the show, but without the action.
Right.
It just doesn't have the action in it. So The Nice Guys, It's taking two A-listers. It's taking this unbelievable odd couple and just making one of the greatest movies ever.
All like, time.
It's so funny.
Yeah. It's this was one of the funniest, most satisfying movies. I haven't seen it a second time yet.
You haven't?
No.
I've watched it a handful of times.
Really?
Yeah.
It's just as good?
Oh, absolutely. And if you just put in more action in this movie, it would just be a Die Hard.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, excuse me, a Lethal Weapon.
They're so good. Overweight Russell Crowe is so wonderful.
Almost as good as Fat Kilmer.
Yeah,
almost 55 is very close to your heart.
Yeah, Tombstone. This is a classic. People love Tombstone. I love Tombstone. Doc Holliday, played by Val Kilmer, wonderfully. This movie is bloated and long, and it doesn't need to be anywhere near as long as it is. And a lot of the plot lines are just... it's basically just Val Kilmer being awesome and a few other sweet mustaches.
Yeah, there's some great moments. Like, I mean, Russell with Billy Bob is awesome, but... this movie is where it's at because it is Val Kilmer's most iconic performance. Now, Heat is amazing.
Yeah,
he's great
so
in that.
Good,
but this character of Doc Holliday,
yeah,
everyone wants to be Doc Holliday.
Everybody wants to be Doc Holliday. He's super sweet. Yeah. And he's Kurt Russell's great. Great mustache. Paxton, you got Sam Elliott in this movie as well.
Yeah, incredible ensemble.
It is Sam Elliott, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe so.
Okay. So moving on from that one, we have the film that we just watched. The film that we just watched, which was number, 99 on the show?
99 on the show, The Raid Redemption. It was the first foreign film we've ever done on the show. In my opinion, probably the best martial arts movie that's come out in the last decade. I know that I might get crucified for that, but in my opinion, it is incredible. It's paced perfectly. You don't need to even speak the language or be able to read to enjoy it.
Yeah, it's just straight action. It's just pure, rock-solid action.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. I loved watching this movie for the first time. It's like the knife through the leg, just
there's so many. Oh god!
Yeah, exactly.
Which is what you want out of sweet action martial arts movies.
A lot of like fist pump type of moments. Moving on to number 53, we have the probably simplest action movie ever done by James Cameron in True Lies.
Maybe the simplest movie ever done. Piranha.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and this movie is involved enough. You know, there's some pretty big stuff. It's got Paxton in one of the great Paxton roles ever.
Yeah.
The most likable shitweasel of all time.
Yeah. It's got Tom Arnold, just awesome. Jamie Lee Curtis looking smoking hot.
Yeah.
And then you've got Arnold and Eliza Dushku. And you've got Arnold just being, like, there's no way that guy's, what is he supposed to be?
A computer salesman?
Yeah. Something ridiculous like that. It's just like him being a doctor in Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
Look.
It's amazing.
For no reason other than just Bill Paxton. That would get it to 53.
Paxton's
so good.
Steals the show.
Hilarious and such a shit weasel.
Yeah. This movie's great. Made tons of money. It's the greatest missed sequel ever.
Yeah.
Number 52, we have Die Hard with a Vengeance.
My favorite Die Hard film. Him and Jackson are incredible together.
Yeah, they're really, really good. Also written by Jonathan Hensley, the writer of Armageddon. Just a really, really, just genuinely super awesome movie. Love Die Hard with a Vengeance. It's the best Die Hard movie other than Die Hard 1.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Die Hard 2 is throwaway, and then once you get into Die Hard 4s and 5s, they're just kind of goofy.
I remember 4 enough. That's the one with Timothy Oliphant.
Yeah, I like 4.
And the firewall.
And Justin Long
and
Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Fire Sale, they call it.
Fire Sale.
I haven't seen the fourth one in a long time. I didn't ever see the fifth one.
That one's Live Free or Die Hard?
That's
the fourth one.
Live Free or Die Hard is the fourth one. Fifth one is a good day to Die Hard.
You asked me that stupid question for trivia. I hate that
you
question.
When we quiz each other in trivia, you hate losing so...
Oh, I hate losing.
Even when it's texting and like there's no cameras on, you just... Yeah.
Very competitive person.
If you miss two questions, you're like, I'm done playing.
I don't want to play anymore. I don't want to play this game anymore.
Die Hard with a Vengeance, genuinely sweet. This is great. I love this movie. And number 51, guys, this is a funny thing.
This is interesting because, as you guys know, we have a lot of specialty episodes that we've done.
Yeah. So we were trying to figure out the safest place to put this because we did an episode on Action Movie Anatomy once called 8 Movies We Wish We Could Do on the Show.
Yeah.
And we did a poll from those 8 movies, and there was like a bracket, and you guys all decided to tell us the film that you wanted to watch us do. And those 8 films, if I remember correctly, were The Truman Show, Jerry Maguire, The Weatherman,
yep,
Boogie Nights, Lord of the Rings Trilogy, Shawshank Redemption, and Sunshine.
Yes.
And we put them up, and we ended up doing the Lord of the Rings Trilogy as an episode, a special edition episode, the 9 great fist pumps of the Lord of the Rings Trilogy,
yep,
which will appear later on here. But this was basically where we wanted to put it because it's the end of part 1, guys. We are going to break this after this. We're going to do one more award, and then we're going to come back with part 2 for you. But this felt like the safest place to put this.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's not fair for us to rank any of those movies, but we did want to acknowledge the fact that we love all those films, whether they're going to be on the show or not. Most of them will not ever be on the show.
Sunshine, maybe.
Sunshine, it was the only one that might be.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Yeah, we just wanted to talk about that. If you guys want, go and watch that episode. It's a little bit different than any of the other episodes we've done, but it's very fun, and it's us passionately talking about movies that we love that we can't discuss.
And those are all films we will get to talk about extensively on Fist Pump Films Weekly when we get to doing that show, so watch out for that show, guys. Last but not least, for this first part, we have one more award, and this is a big one.
It's a big award.
It's a big one to cap it off with.
Now, we didn't put all the nominees in the category online, but we have a whole list of several nominees for Best Villain on Action Movie Anatomy.
Greatest Action Movie Anatomy villain. There was 8 nominees for this one.
Yep.
The nominees for Best Villain are Hans Gruber, Die Hard.
Commodus from Gladiator.
Davian, played by Philip Seymour Hoffman in Mission Impossible 3. Paul Cerone, played by John Voight in Anaconda. The T-1000, played by Robert Patrick in Terminator 2. What the hell is his character name? Alonzo?
Alonzo something?
Alonzo something, played by Denzel Washington in Training Day. The Joker, played by Heath Ledger in The Dark Knight. The Bear, played by Bart the Bear in The Edge. And finally, Vincent, played by Tom Cruise in Collateral, with the final nomination being Brigadier General Francis X. Hummel, played by Ed Harris in The Rock.
In The Rock. And as fans, we knew this is what was going to happen. You guys voted for Heath Ledger
as the Joker in The Dark Knight.
As the Joker in The Dark Knight. A great, great vote. Unfortunately, we had to disagree.
And your winner is Brigadier General Francis X. Hummel in The Rock.
Look, man, there's no one better than Francis X. Hummel for action movie villains. He is just and true in his cause. He visits his dead wife at the beginning of the movie.
I miss you so much.
Look. I bluffed. They called it.
Yeah.
Look,
call it what you wanted. We're up here, and you're down there.
You walked in the wrong goddamn room, Commander.
Ceasefire.
And his death, the slow motion.
Ah, unbelievable. It's been the greatest honor of my life to serve with you, General.
He is just amazing, and he's not evil.
No, and he doesn't get nearly enough credit. We feel that Francis X. Hummel gets passed over as one of the great action movie villains of all time.
The greatest action movie villain of all time, and yeah, he gets overlooked. And I think that if you guys go back and watch The Rock, you will see exactly what it is we are talking about.
Absolutely, guys. So thanks for listening to part one of the 100 films of Action Movie Anatomy ranked, and our end of 100 awards. Use the hashtag AMA100 to tweet your thoughts at us, guys. Please like, comment, leave your thoughts in the comments below. If you disagree wholeheartedly with any of our rankings, and if you guys want to follow along, you can find me at Ben Bateman Media on Twitter and Instagram.
You can find me at Andrew Guy, and you can find the podcast at AMA Podcast. Remember, guys, we've got the top 50 coming up tomorrow. Those are we got 50 more movies. We also got the awards, the female hero of the show, the best director of the show, the best hero, the greatest episode, and of course, the show's MVP. So come back tomorrow.
See you guys tomorrow.
Kevin Undergaro, Phil Spitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network. We would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.